Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I see heaven invading this place.
Thank you, Jesus.
I see angels praising your holy name.
Thank you, Lord.
I sing praises, I sing praises. I give you honor, worthy Jesus. I see glory falling in this place. I see hope restore the healing of all disease. I sing praise, I sing praise. I give you one worthy Jesus. We give you praise and all of the honor. You are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise and all of the glory, God.
Praise you, Jesus.
We give you praise and all of the honor. You are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise and all of the glory, God.
Can we give him that praise this morning? Thank you, Jesus.
I see glory falling in this place.
Thank you, Lord.
I see hope restored, the healing of all disease.
Hallelujah.
I sing praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
I sing praise. I give you honor, worthy Jesus. We give you praise and all of the honor. You are our God.
Hallelujah.
The one we live for. We give you praise and all of the glory, God. We give you praise and all of the honor. You are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise and all of the glory, God.
Thank you.
All of the glory. Let your presence fill this place. Let heaven come. Let your angels be released. Let heaven come. We will worship at your feet. Let heaven come. And face to face we want to meet.
Thank you,
Jesus. Let heaven come. Cause we give you praise and all of the honor. You are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise and all of the glory, God. We give you praise and all of the honor. You are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise, all of the glory, God. All of the glory.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
All of the glory.
Hallelujah. Let's give him another hand this morning. Praise you, Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. I've got some things on my heart this evening. And as I always say, I said, I don't want things on my heart. I want to be what's on the Lord's heart. Amen. And there's a will of God in each and every situation, each and every service. And we have to find that mind. The Bible teaches us to let this mind be in us. It was also in Christ Jesus that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Man has troubles doing that, but sons of God don't have a problem doing that. Amen. We got to rend the veil between being a man and a son of God. Amen. And when you're born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, you're a child of the living God, a son of God, the Bible said. The Bible said, beloved, now we are the sons of God. The Bible says that the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And when people question sonship, all they got to do is see who's leading them. If they're led by the flesh, then they're of their father, the devil. Amen. Let's pray. Most gracious Father, as we come boldly to the throne of grace, Lord God, we thank you, Father, for access made by the blood of the Lamb, Lord God. And Father, as we come asking you this evening, Lord, as we yield our minds and our hearts over to you, Father, knowing that we're the least of all, but Lord God, knowing that you could take any vessel, Lord God, that will submit and yield to you, Father, and who will speak, Lord God, no longer being man speaking, but Christ speaking from the heavens. Father, we have your way this evening. Let us yield and be sensitive to that still small voice, Father, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Well, I just heard something. The brother said that he was Church of God and was born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. Now I know there's one. No. I have to pick on, and I got to pick on the Church of God folks, just like we do them Baptist folks, amen. And I started out many, many years ago with Assembly of God, and used to preach in some Church of God churches over in the areas of Oklahoma, and fellowship with them, and out in the areas of California, and different parts of the country, and met some wonderful people. Amen. And we got an article or a new writing be out soon. It was out in electronic files and went through some prison in the writings and paper, but it said, what is the absolute? You know, and when I think of Church of God, and I could use this because the brother said, you know, this is where his foundation's at. The thing is I think about the years back, and I look at some of these major denominations, and I looked at their doctrines, and considered them, and walked in them, and submitted to them, and learned them. And I find that there's been so many alterations. There's been many wonderful works around the world, and many wonderful works that were started by great men of God filled with the Holy Ghost. And these works have modified and changes. I'm not making this application so much to the Church of God, but I'm talking about all of them. And you can go find one sect of people that you could say, well, this is a good work. And then you can go over in the other and go to a church out of the same affiliate, could even be affiliated together, and this other man doesn't even have the Spirit of God. Anybody ever been to a church where the pastor does not have the Spirit of God before? Amen. Has anybody ever seen a man call himself a pastor that is a minister of the devil according to the Word of God? Amen. You know, the thing is people don't like to talk that way. They don't like to think that way. They just think of this big merciful God, you know, and Jesus is all love, and he truly is, amen. But we need to understand the judgments of God, the wrath of God. We need to understand our position as ministers, that we have the authority, the power to exhort, to reprove, to rebuke with all long suffering, not to hold a sword back from blood. So it comes with great responsibilities. As we say oftentimes, sometimes God will send a man of God. We have an idea that, well, you know, we're going to preach the gospel. We're going to see souls won into the kingdom. Amen. That's what we all want. But God sends us to judge also. He'll send a man of God many thousands of miles to bring judgment. Amen. For when they stand before him, they know that they had an opportunity to repent on this side. Amen. So we got to be sensitive and yield to the Spirit of God and find out what his mind and what his will is. Amen. We can get caught up in religious ideology, and I don't like, you know, I could remix religion and I could remix ideology, but you can't mix it with the Spirit. Amen. When you do, it becomes abomination, or it becomes lukewarm, or it becomes puke, as the Bible would say. And we find that many times we have much ideology that's being and brought forth as doctrines in the churches of America today. Now, the thing is that I could talk about many great men of God. Some of the last few services, I talked about the failures of the Sanhedrin, this highest sect of Jewish people. And we got to know that these were absolutely, if there was the cream of crop people in the world, it was them. These were the highest, most religious sect of people in all the world, esteemed to be the greatest, even the right blood type. They were born, they were the natural elect, because we being the spiritual Jews are the true Jew, according to the Word. But they were naturally speaking this elect. And we know this was the highest sect of people. So if we look at them and we see they failed God, they committed adultery, as the Word of God says, under every green tree. We see the failure of that, and we go on down through the Catholic Church coming out of that. I'm just recapping a little bit to bring it to the Church of God, maybe to the Assemblies of God, maybe to the Pentecostal Holiness, maybe to whatever. We could bring it all the way down through. We see these great works and great people. My purpose isn't to slander any of them. We still have to have an honor and a love and a respect for the Jew, brethren. And we have to have that, but we know they failed God. Amen. We know the judgments and the wrath that they brought on. The Catholic Church come out of that. And this was the beginning of the church. Now, when I say Catholic, I'm not talking about this denomination that you know today. And that's what Catholic means, a universal work. And the church was a universal work. It was all bind together in one mind and one accord. But it failed. But then yet they're still haughty and puffed up today. The Protestants came out of the Catholics. They were the move of God, the most powerful, wonderful move of God. But they failed. And then the Pentecostals come out of the Protestants. And now the Pentecostals have failed. I know we want to number ourselves as a Pentecostal. Yeah, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Spirit of God and the gifts of God. Amen. Praise God. But the Pentecostal organizations have failed in America and around the world. We've made the Holy Ghost into babbling and tongues, and I speak in tongues. I wouldn't speak against the gifts, but there's too many tongue-talking devils. We got to understand that we start looking for the gifts instead of the anointing and the calling and the virtue and the righteousness of God. You know, when the Bible said, I prophesied in your name and cast out devils, and he said, I never knew you that work iniquity. He said he never knew them. It's not like they once knew him, and then all of a sudden he didn't know them no more. He said he never knew them. And the thing is, God is omniscient, all-knowing. He knows everything. So how can he say he never knew them? What he was saying is, the knowing is the same relationship of a marriage relationship that consummates a marriage, is when the man and woman come together. And the thing is Joseph did not know Mary until after Jesus was born, but he was married under her. You understand that? So you see, the thing is we've got to enter into the Holy of Holies, into the secret chambers with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as the pure, spotless bride. Amen. And when we enter in as a bride into this, we get into the relationship, not in the physical realms like you think of a man and woman, but he said, I show you a mystery. When the man and woman marry, they become one. Amen. And we got to come to a revelation to understand. The Bible said, when it talks about you that are born again, it said, as seed remaineth in you and keepeth you from sin. It said, ye that are born of God cannot sin. Amen. So the thing is we got to realize what this seed is and where it came from and what it's for. When we look into things and to understand it, we say there's a seed that remaineth within a man that keepeth him from sin. This is what makes a man born again. This is what separates a man from being a man. Amen. You see, and this is the first thing you've got to realize is, you know, the Bible talks about some twice dead. Do you know what a twice dead person is? And yet they still walk and they still live. They still have breath going in and out their lungs. But the Bible said they're twice dead and plucked up by the roots. They cannot find forgiveness in this world or the world to come. You'd say, well, you're speaking about blaspheming of the Holy Ghost. Well, that goes right along in there with it. But you see, I'm trying to bring a foundation of thought to you. Now, when you say you must be born again, so we could say twice born, couldn't we? So the thing is when we talk about a second time or a born again, the first time you was born as a man with the sentence of death, all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you say you have not sin or no sin, you're deceived, and your father's the devil, according to the scriptures and the word. But when I'm born again, I'm no longer a sinner, brothers and sisters. When you go to a work in a church and the preachers are teaching that you're a sinner and you sin every day, they violate the word of God in the scriptures, because again, the Bible said, ye that are born of God cannot. It didn't just say that you might or you might slip. It said you cannot. You cannot. We need to believe what the word of God is. And the only way we could do that is through differentiation of understanding the difference between the spirit and between the body or between the man. Now again, we say so oftentimes, I'm going to read some scripture here before we go too much farther, but if we would go to the scriptures and the word of God, we find that Jesus made himself twain. Does y'all know what twain means? It means two. Okay. Now, what are we Trinitarian people going to do with something like that? We say, now, wait a minute. He said made himself two. Didn't say three there. What are we going to do with that? He made himself twain. So then the thing is we got to be careful of what we believe and what we teach. So then we say, he said he made himself twain, both son of man, both son of God, both Lord and both Christ. You know, we want to stay with doctrine. If you don't have doctrine to preach, you don't have no business preaching. We have doctrine, you know. And the thing is if we preach any other doctrine than what the Lord Jesus Christ preached, that would be a curse according to the scriptures and the word of God. Now, the thing is when we start thinking of doctrine, then we've got to be careful because we've all been involved with so many things. You know, Catholics got doctrines that doesn't line up with the word of God. The Methodists got doctrine that don't line up with the word of God. And we can go right on down the trail. And how much doctrine have we taken in? And we just say, well, this is what I believe because grandma believed it. This is what I believe because granddaddy believed. This is what I believe because this is the kind of church I went to. Brethren, we've got to step back. Now, we started out with this Sanhedrin, the greatest sect of people, and they got deceived. Do anybody disagree with that? They were so deceived that they smited my Lord and my Savior across the face. And it said they beat him with the palms of their hands. Come on now, brethren. They beat the Lord and they crucified him and put him to death. That's pretty deceived, ain't it? When you think that they're looking, and this group of people were looking for their Messiah, and he come and walked among them, and they didn't see him. And we start seeing that we come down through the Catholic Church tonight, and we're going to put the man to death that brought and protested against it, the founder of the Protestant move, Martin Luther. And we find him going to put him to death also. We come on down through that time, and then when this Protestant move comes through, and then we bring the Pentecostals out of that. You realize the Pentecostals could not meet in the mainline churches? They put them out. The Pentecostals, when this Azusa out street point, they was out in tents and big meetings and things because the church rejected it. You see, and we could look back at those people, and those were great people in America. These were people that put their lives in harm's way to come over and found a country, and they did so many things. We're not talking about people that were in deception and deceived, but what happened is they got comfortable and they got deceived. Many great people, brethren. As we come down looking, we got to bring it to ourselves and find out, where are you and I? You know, when we think of this whole world being in deception, come on now, the whole world is in deception. And you're going to separate yourself and say, well, I'm not. It's impossible to deceive God's elect. Well, you could keep on calling yourself the elect and say you're not deceived, but you may have some deception in you that God's tired of. Now, when I see God pulling away from the Pentecostals, and because of the foolishness that's going on in the Pentecostal works. You know, it's getting, now when you tell somebody you're Christian, you almost feel like you need to give them an explanation. Well, I'm not like them Christians over there. I'm a real Christian. You know, I mean, we got homosexuals that'd be hand in hand. And they'll say, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I heard of a homosexual preacher. I was gunning in somebody's vehicle. And they had that PBR, I think they call it, public broadcasting radio on. I never listened, but this was on there. And this preacher's wearing it out. And I'm thinking, wow, this guy can preach. And then I get to listen for a minute. And he was preaching to the sodomites, telling them they need to be faithful with their one man. And I'm going, whoa. You know, and this is the deception that people are in. And the thing is if the whole world is deceived and you're the only one that's not, praise God, but we've got to somewhere examine, see if we be in the faith, and we need to take a look. As I said here not long ago, I said, you believe that a minister of Satan would think that he's a minister of Satan? There's not a chance. They don't think so. The Bible said they'll be put you to death thinking they're doing God a service. Let's read right here in 2 Corinthians 11th chapter. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, and I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means that as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not wit behind the very chiefest apostles. Now we're going to read on here, but we're talking here. We see that we're being presented as a chaste virgin here. Now, as we go down through some of this, we're going to differentiate some things here. Now, how many believe that they're the bride of Christ? He said he's coming back for a bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Okay, so I say, oh, I'm the bride of Christ. Now, if I'm the bride of Christ, I need to be quiet now. I can't speak in the church if the woman's to be silent in the church. And then yet, I'm married to my wife over here. Now, she's most definitely a woman. She was my bride. Been with me about almost 39 years now. And the thing is that, you know, you see me in one dimension as a man married unto her, and then you see me in another dimension, and I'm the bride of Christ. Now the thing is if I was going to ask you, and I'll challenge you a little bit in thought, but if I was going to ask you, now in the natural dimension, I look over here and I see my wife, and you'd say, well, that's, you know, I understand that's in the natural dimension, but when you're in the spirit, you'd say the bride. But see, that's error. I can't be the bride of Christ in the spiritual dimension. And see, this is where most people would go. They say, well, it has to be, Brother Rob, because you know you're not. But the Bible said that there's no male nor female, no bond or free, no Greek or Jew in the spirit. So then I've got to say, well, where am I this bride at then? See, we got to get into the dimension between the two. And it's the soul realm. And that has to do with the second heaven. Now, I'm going to finish reading here, but if we went over one more chapter, and let me go over there for just a moment to just give you a little bit of a foundation of thought here. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, said, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to vision and revelations." How many like visions and revelations? Amen. "Of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in body," now we're differentiating here, "I cannot tell, or whether out of body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise," now listen, "and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter." You see, sometimes the preacher has trouble speaking when he's been caught away into the third heaven, has trouble speaking it because sometimes some things can't be uttered. And then you can find people relative to that dimension or to that spirit world, and those things can be uttered there. The Bible said some have ears to hear and some don't have ears to hear. Some have eyes to see and some don't have eyes to see. Now, most of us, we're sitting in a church like that, and the preacher gets up there and he says, "And Jesus said that when he was right before his brethren and there was many large group there, he said, though you have eyes, you don't see." And everybody say, "Boy, I know he's talking to that guy over there. He's talking to that one over there." But how many times have you not seen, and then all of a sudden something takes place and the Lord was trying to show, and if you would have had eyes to see, you would have saw it? Now see, we're differentiating again, brethren. We're differentiating here. Now let's talk about that third heaven for a second. Now we know that, we say this oftentimes, if there is a third heaven, we pretty much are pretty sure to say there's a first and second. Is that correct? Now if I told you there was a fourth heaven and a fifth heaven, you could say, "Wait a minute, Brother Rob, you ain't got no Bible for that." But I know if I told you that I have, this is my third child, you know I'd have two others, unless one of them passed away. But you know I had two other children. So the thing is he said third heaven. Didn't know whether he's in body, couldn't tell. But he knew he was caught away there and heard unspeakable things. Now some of you may have had some of these experiences and been caught away and different kind of things. And maybe you didn't know if he was in your body or out of the body. But there's an understanding and a revelation in there, and I could explain that and tell you what he was. I know what he was in. And you say, "Well, that's pretty peculiar, Brother Rob, if you know what he was in and he was there and he didn't know what he was in." Amen. But you see, the thing is through the doctrine of the revelation that we are taught to pray for, then we could come to understanding what is applicable and what can be there. There's some things that can't be there. You understand? If you climb up another way without the wedding garment on, you're cast out. You understand that? So now the thing is I ministered a message many, many years ago. I guess it's probably getting over 15, 16 years ago, but I've entitled this message, "The Soul Realm Religion." Now, many people, they don't know how to differentiate the difference between the soul realm and the spirit realm. And some of the theologians and some of the doctors of divinity and different things of theology, they say that there is no difference. Well, that's a lie. You know, well, you think you're smarter than them? No, I'm just a son of God and I have the spirit of revelation. He speaks to me and shows me things. I'm not no better than any of them. I'm the least of them, and I'm sure they could eat me alive in the Bible. But you know, when something's unveiled to you by the Spirit, it's something that you know. You see, we have an unction from the Holy One to know all things. That doesn't make me anybody special. Doesn't even make me a good Bible study or a Bible scholar. But when God gives you something, you know. He said he was caught away into third heaven and unspeakable things were spoke to him. Have you ever been there and had some of those things speak to you? And the thing is when you find these speaking and these things that's come to you, it comes in your spirit and there's nothing you could do about it. It's there. You believe in a word of knowledge, right? If you believe in a word of knowledge, what is a word of knowledge? You understand that? If we're talking about these gifts of the Spirit and we talk about tongues and interpretation or prophecy, but a word of knowledge. It's when a knowledge is given to you that wasn't attained through your normal way of studying it. Now, if I ask Brother Paul here what his birthday is, he's going to tell me. You know why? Because somebody told him that. His mother told him, and he celebrated all through his life. That was an attained knowledge. But when all of a sudden a gift of knowledge is moving in you, it's all of a sudden you know something about an individual that you would have never known. It's a knowledge. So there's a knowledge that's attainable, and the Bible teaches us that ye are gods, but there's some that die like men from a lack of knowledge. So we need to tap into this knowledge bank to find out what we are. And you say, "Well, Brother Rob, you can't teach it. We're gods." I didn't. He did. Jesus did. And we don't want to die like men. It's accounted unto man once to die, but we as sons of God live forever. You understand that? So we got to find out. You know, you say, "Well, can you say you're a God as a man in the flesh? Or are you saying you're a God?" I'm born again of an eternal spirit of the Father. Amen. I'm one with him. What does that make you? You see, this is where we got to start differentiating and understanding, brethren, because people get so naturally minded and they want to bring all the spiritual things into the natural dimension. And it doesn't all apply there. The natural man has to die. Amen? Now we say oftentimes that we're speaking that of the scriptures and the word of God, and we're going to go back and finish reading over here in 2 Corinthians. But speaking about the word, when we think of mortifying or killing out or dying daily, so we say that there's a daily death. Is that right? Y'all believe that? That's what the Bible says. Now, if something's going to die every day, then something needs to be resurrected every day. Y'all agree with that? Something's got to come alive every day. We can't just keep dying. Something's got to be coming alive. Amen? Now, see, in one dimension, the flesh man is dead and hid away, buried, and nothing could be laid to my charge. He's gone. You understand that? Now, in another dimension, he's trying to resurrect every day, and I got to kill him and mortify him every day. That has to do with the second heaven. Now, the second heaven is the soul realm. Now, I'm not going to contradict the Bible. If I contradict the Bible, you'd be smart to get up and walk out the door. And it wouldn't offend me at all if I'm contradicting the Word of God. But you see, we got to go line upon line and precept upon precept according to the Word of God. Amen? Now, I can tell you there's some things that if you tried to apply it and just think in one realm, then you are going to miss some of the scriptures in the Word of God. Now, I could show you some things in the scriptures that would, unless you could differentiate, you would think that it was, that the Word contradicts itself. In 1 John 1, it says that if you say you have no sin, that you're a liar and you're deceived. But in 1 John 3, it said that if you say that you sin or have sin, it said you're of your father the devil. So which one are you going to go with? Well, see, to the man, I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity, but he's crucified, no longer lives, and now it's Christ that lives, according to Galatians, the second chapter. So the thing is if I'm going to speak by the Spirit of God, you see, am I going to speak as a man? Paul came to him and he said, I'd like to speak to you as unto spirituals, but I find you still yet carnal. He said, the things I'm wanting to teach you, he said, you ought to be teaching these things by now. But he wanted to speak by the Spirit to the people, to the brethren. Is this correct? He wanted to speak by the Spirit. Now, he could come in and talk to him as a man. Brother Paul knew how to do that. He would say, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? The very things that I want to do, I find myself not doing those things. And the very things that I don't want to do, those are the things I find myself doing. You see, now he was speaking as a man. He said, oh, wretched man, right? But then yet we could find the same brother, Brother Paul, speaking by the Spirit, speaking things of such, said, nothing could be laid to my charge. I'm born again and I cannot sin. I'm hid away in Christ. Amen. Hid away. Nothing could touch me. Nothing could bring no harm to me. You understand that? Now see, this was a man speaking by the Spirit. Now the thing is as a man starts speaking by the Spirit, guess what happens? The same thing that happened to Jesus. When Jesus came along and many of the Pharisees and different of these Jewish sect of people and believers were around, you know, and they were taking up stones to stone him. He said, for what good works have I done that you want to take these stones up and stone me? And they said, it's not for the good works that you've done. You know, hey, they like those good works. They like to see the miracles of the bread, you know, being multiplied and the fishes, loaves and fishes. They like to see the sick healed and all those things. They said, no, it's not for them things. Not for that at all. It's because you're a mere man making yourself to be God. Now, see, the same thing will happen to you today. When you start coming to understanding who you are in Christ, that you have been crucified with him, and the life that you now live in the flesh, you understand that? You live by faith in the Son of God. It's a spirit. So we're differentiating between your spirit man and your flesh man. Now the thing is one of these is going to be living, and whoever you yield to is who you are of. So now we're talking warfare realm. Now where's this warfare realm at? Is it in the first heaven? Is it in the second heaven or is it in the third heaven? Now, if the third heaven is all peace and joy and righteousness and no sorrows and no tears, you understand that? Then we've got a second heaven. Now, the second heaven, let me explain something to you about the second heaven. It's got a twilight there. It's got light and darkness. Third heaven has no darkness. No darkness could get in there. It is light, and Jesus is the light of that. You understand? There's no darkness there. Light eradicates darkness. But in the second heaven, there is light and there's darkness. Now, when I made a statement just a moment ago that a minister in a message many years ago called soul realm religion. Now, many people in the first heaven, the first dimension, natural, where people live and walk and dwell and they marry and do all these things in, the Jews relative to that first heavenly realm. the natural Jew. This is why Jesus, when he comes back, he's coming back to the Jew to set up an earthly kingdom for the Jew, because they have an earthly promise. But we're the spiritual Jews, brethren. That promise isn't for us. We're not looking for an earthly kingdom. The Bible said our kingdom comes without observation. You understand? And the thing is, the Bible teaches about invisible thrones and dominions and principalities and powers. You see, we speak by the invisible world. The Bible said that the Father's invisible. Okay, so the Father being invisible, that's the spirit realm. But you see, it's not invisible to you when you get eyes to see. When Jesus was walking there along and he was bringing revelational things to him, and Philip asked him, he said, when will we see the Father? And Jesus replied to him, said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? I and the Father are one. So now we're starting to begin to differentiate. We got to differentiate between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let me go on here just for a moment, just bringing some foundational truths, foundational thoughts. And when you start differentiating between the first, second, third heaven, the body, soul, and the spirit, the natural, physical, and spiritual world, between the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, between the first, second, and third heaven, when you start differentiating between these things, as people get lost because they're not taught these things. But these are things that we need to learn to understand. For we ain't tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, or that we're not walking or getting deceived in doctrines of devils. Now, because of the lack of understanding of many dimensional truths, there's people that are doing all kinds of things. Now, the thing is I'll use for an example, we've got an Armenian doctrine. Does anybody know what the Armenian doctrine is? Many of you should. We've done a lot of teaching on it. And then we talk about Calvinist doctrine. Now, the thing is, the Calvinists got some awesome, beautiful doctrine, but they've got some error intermingled in with it. And the Armenians got some awesome doctrine, but they've got some error intermingled with it, but they both have Bible. You understand that? And then we've got people that call themselves oneness. Okay? Many try to say that I'm oneness because of some of the things that I teach. And the oneness people don't like me, and the Trinitarian people don't like me because of the things I teach, and all I'm doing is teaching the Word of God. But what the Trinitarians have done is they got themselves in one box, and they're beating up everybody that doesn't fit in their schedule. And then the oneness are doing the very same thing, and they both have biblical truths. Now, I was speaking about what is the absolute a moment ago. What is the absolute? You know, if the Trinitarians are using the same King James Bible to beat up a oneness man, and the oneness man is using the King James Bible to beat up the Trinitarian, and the Armenian is taking the King James Bible and beating up the Calvinist, and the Calvinist is taking the King James Bible, then what is the absolute? And you say, well, I know for a fact that it's Jesus. He's the absolute. Okay, is it the Jesus that the Catholic Church has? Is it his Jesus that had a mother? And you say, well, yeah, but wait a minute. You know, the thing is, Brother Rob, is, you know, Jesus did have a mother named Mary. And I say, okay. But then yet I could show you in the scriptures where he himself said, I have no mother or I have no father. So now what are you going to do with that? Is the word contradicting itself? Absolutely not. The Son of Man had a mother. His father was spirit, and that seed came among her, and she conceived being a virgin. So he, Jesus, the Son of Man, did not come through the loins of a man. Okay, so we got to differentiate now between the Son of Man and the Son of God. Now, the thing is that the Son of God, you see, now the Catholic, you know, God died on the cross of Calvary. And you say, well, he did. No, God's the spirit of life. He cannot die just as well as he cannot lie. And he had no beginning and no end. See, Jesus said, I have no beginning, I had no end. And the thing is, you say, well, wait a minute, you was born right here. This is why there wasn't many miracles right there at Nazareth, because they said, I know who your dad is. I know who your mom is. You worked over here. You see, they limited the God. So he made himself twain. Now, the thing is we got to do the same thing. Now, we have doctrines that most even going across denominational barriers, you know, that we'll agree with. You know, we say, oh, well, I got an inner man, I got an outer man. You know, I've been born again. Well, I've got the Spirit of God. You know, and there's a lot of things that are interchangeable. You know, there's not all that many distances apart in many of these denominational works. My calling or purpose isn't try to bring all the denominations together. God put them apart for a reason. He separated the sheep and the goat. You understand that? The wheat and the tares. There's a time to pull some things together, but there's a time that's not. But what are you going to number yourself with? My Bible said, beloved, now you are the sons of God. That's what I'm numbering myself with. Because I find failure in the denominational world. And you think, oh, well, praise God, I'm non-denominational. Well, let me tell you, it's worse than the denominations. At least the denomination got some headship and some order watching after them. But a lot of these non-denominational works, they got a bunch of fly-by-nights and they self-ordained and they're just doing their own thing. They weren't sent. So we're differentiating still again, aren't we? So we're talking, trying to understand what is relative to the third heaven, what is relative to the second, what is relative to the first. What is relative to the Father, what is relative to the Son, and what is relative to the Holy Ghost. Now the Bible says in 1 John 5, it said Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, said these three are one. Then we go over and we also read in the same chapter, it said water, blood, and spirit. It said these three agree in one. So the thing is when we start looking, we got to find out what are these water, blood, and spirit world. Now the thing is when we talk about a seed that remaineth in you, keepeth you from sin, these are very foundational truths here, but the thing is there's a seed. Now there's a seed to the water world. Now if I take an apple seed, the Bible teaches that you know, the trees produce after its own kind, right? So I take an apple seed, I put it out here in the ground, and what do I expect to come up? An apple. That's a seed relative to the water world. Then there's a blood dimension. Now if we talk about the blood seed, that's called, it would be considered as semen or the blood seed of man. And you see, and it reproduces after its kind. And a man plants this blood seed into the woman, being the earthen vessel, the Bible teaches. And when this blood seed goes into the woman, it's going to reproduce whatever the man is. If it's a Negro man, it's going to be a black child. If it's a white man, it'll be a white child. If it's a Mexican man or a yellow man or Chinese, whatever, it's going to reproduce after it. So we see a relative seed in the water, blood, and the spirit world. And then when we go over into the spirit, there's a spirit seed. And this is the seed that the Father had put within this woman to bring forth the Son of God and the Son of Man. Now, the thing is, we have to have that same seed within us today. Now, this is where the virgin comes in. Now the thing is I went back a few minutes ago and I was speaking about the virgin. So I say, okay, I'm a virgin. Okay? Without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. This is what he's coming for. Well, how many think that this has happened or hasn't happened? Now the thing is if it hasn't already happened, then how could we have sons of God? You understand that? Now you see, we get into teachings and dimensions and different things, and people have troubles with differentiating between these dimensions. But you see, if I'm already married unto him, and I was a chaste virgin, and I went into the chambers, the marriage is consummated. And this is how the seed comes in. But what is the heir to the throne of God, according to the scriptures? The child. The child's heir to the throne. So the thing is that if there's no woman in this third heaven, nor male, then what is relative to the third heaven? And what is it going to be? What is it going to be when we get there? And what will we remember? What will we know? See, those are a lot of questions that some people don't understand or have the answers to. But brethren, when we learn to differentiate between this water, blood, and spirit world and understand that there's laws in each one, and there's a relativity to each one. There's certain things that cannot happen in the water world, certain things that cannot happen in the blood world, and there's certain things that cannot happen in the spirit world, and I could say otherwise the same thing. There's things that could happen in the first heaven that can't happen in the third heaven. Do you realize there can't be no darkness in the third heaven, right? If there's no darkness there, but I could find darkness in the first heaven because the first heaven is relative to darkness. The Bible said light being dwelled within the darkness. Now we're talking about the second heaven because we've got light and darkness together. Now see, I could take you into the scriptures that says that you cannot put light and darkness together or bitter and sweet. But then yet the second heaven has them both. So is that contradicting the word? Not at all. The thing is it's speaking by the third heaven. You see, and when the Bible says that ye that are born of God cannot sin, it's talking about born of the Spirit. But when you were born of a man, you were sin, shaping in iniquity, full of darkness. You understand that? So now when we find out that there's this spiritual birth that comes forth out of the third heaven, and then we're born into this first heaven, then there's a cross that has to bear to take place to go from the first to the third. This is the second. You have to go through the second realm to make it into the third. The second realm is where the blood applies. Now the thing is there was a water covenant and a water world. Okay, we understand the water world, and when we find Adam and Eve were put in this garden, it was things that they could not partake of that was relative to the water world, right? Okay, they were forbidden to eat of this water world or to partake of certain things in this water world, but they partook of this, and it brought a judgment and an end to the water world. The water world was consummated or fulfilled by a great flood of this earth, and it was flooded with water. And it showed a baptism of this earth, meeting the water dimension of the water covenant. Okay, but then after the water covenant was done away with, and if we would go down and we see these two brethren, as Cain and Abel, and one of them brought forth a sacrifice to God. He brought him a sacrifice that was relative from farming. And when he brought this sacrifice to God that was relative to the farming world, and he brought it, God didn't accept it. And it made him so mad he killed his brother. Because God accepted his brother's sacrifice. Now, if you know, the brother had sacrificed an animal and brought a blood sacrifice because the water covenant had been violated. So we see that the earth was consummated to the fulfilling of the water covenant by flooding the earth. And then we go into another covenant, the blood covenant. Now, you could say as a minister or as a Christian or whatever, well, I was born again and I came through the blood of Jesus. I say, yea and amen. We have to be washed in the blood. Amen. We have to be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you ain't going to make it. You won't be there. But you see, there's an end to the blood world and a blood covenant. You understand that? You see, the Son of Man had an end. And when he resurrected in another form, and the ones that were with him didn't even recognize him. Do you remember that? He walked right along with them. Their hearts burned within them. And then he had to show some of them the scars in his hands. You understand that? You see, we're differentiating still again. They didn't even know him and they just walked with him. But when he resurrected in another form. You see, the Bible said there's beast flesh, fish flesh, and it goes on to talking about terrestrial bodies. A terrestrial body is different than a mortal body. You see, there's mortal and immortal. The Bible teaches the thing that is mortal will be buried. You can go read about it in Corinthians 15. And it said, and then it said it comes forth immortal, sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. We see we have to differentiate between these worlds. But here's where the problem comes. Everybody's taking this and putting it over on the other side somewhere and thinking it's something to come. But brethren, we got to bring it to now. The I am. God is now. Now we are the sons of God according to the word of God. So we find, again, I use terminology such as historic. People take and read the Bible historically. And they read about Jesus was here 2,000 years ago. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he walked the earth and this, that. And then they're talking about the prophetic things, future things, prophetical things to come. But brethren, we need a God today. The Bible said a deferred hope sickeneth the heart. We find people falling away. Our nation is falling away because they got a deferred hope. Brethren, our God is here. He's now. He is the I am. He's ever present. He's in us. He's through us. He's with us. Amen. We got filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And when he said, go and tarry there in Jerusalem, he said, go tarry there until you're endued with power. That was the coming of the Lord. Amen. Do you understand that? That was the coming of the Lord. See, the Bible again says in 1 John 5, it said the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost are one. Okay, and one is relative to the first, one is relative to the second, one is relative to the third. And each one of these manifested in a dimension to us to know God. Now, God being invisible, no man known or understood or comprehended. But Jesus came to bring the comprehension of the invisible world. The Bible said the Father is invisible, no man seen. And again, I'm not a Trinitarian and I'm not a oneness, but I'm saying this is where I got a problem with some of the Trinitarian doctrine when they say God's three persons. You understand that? When you start teaching that God's a three-person God, then I'm saying, now, wait a minute, a person isn't invisible. Now, again, I will say this because the Bible scholars of today, through the etymology of the word person, has been modified and changed, just like the word gay. To my younger years and things, gay was somebody happy. Now it's a faggot, queer, pervert. Okay? So the word person has gone through the same, through etymology, has gone through the same transformation of a change. Now, the original rendering of the word person is like a mask, just like Jesus robed himself in flesh, but that wasn't the life. It wasn't that fleshly life. The flesh is vanity. It's a lie. But the thing is, the life is in the spirit. Amen. That's the real spirit life as we started out here this evening, talking about a breath of life and a spirit life. So we start trying to comprehend or understand what is this spirit life and what is it relative to and what part is invisible, what part is visible, and what runs in between the two. Now, the thing is when Jesus came in the second realm, it said he came in the reflection realm as the moon, and it turned to fire, if you read in the book of Revelation. But see, it's because the spirit is what the light is, and then the flesh is just reflects light. It can't produce light, brethren. The flesh does not produce light because it's darkness. It's relative to the earth. That's why it was made from the dust of the earth. It's relative. It's darkness. When the Bible said light being veiled within the darkness, it's talking about the spirit of light that dwells within us, the Holy Ghost. And this is the light to the world. And we got to bring this light forth into this world of darkness. So there's a realm we fight in. There's a realm we rest in. There's a realm that we're dead to. So we got to find out where these dimensions lie and which one and how do we apply it. Now the thing is, when you speak by the Spirit, people draw back on you. The Bible said, let this mind, again, you can go read it, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So if I stood back here and I said, hey, I'm equal with God. People say, oh man, you can't do that. Well, I'm just telling you what His Word said. Well, you can't be equal with God. He said, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, joint heirs with Him. He giveth us everything that pertaineth unto life. Now I'm speaking as a son of God, brethren. You understand that? My daddy, you know, he would want me to have all of his possessions and everything he's got being his son. How about my heavenly Father? He wants to give us everything that pertaineth unto life. Amen? So we don't want to limit God with our unbelief. And we don't want to limit Him. Well, you just can't say you're equal with Him. Well, let me tell you something. You could either be equal with Him or equal with the God of this world, Satan. I'm going to be one with Him. I didn't earn this. You see, if my father was the king of England and I was born his son, guess what? I'm an heir to the throne. Is that right? And I just go right in there. I'm not talking about I've done anything to earn this. Man, it's by the mercy and the grace and the love of God. He gave this thing to me before the foundation of the world. But we got to start being a people somewhere that starts believing this. And we get an unbelief and we think like a man. So as we differentiate between this first, second, third heaven, we find that in Revelation in the book, it says that there was a woman in heaven. Now see, that would violate the scriptures because it said there's no male nor female there. But he said, I saw a woman. He said, I'll show you a mystery is what he said. He called it a mystery. He said, I saw this woman in heaven giving travail to a child. And there was a red dragon there. And this red dragon was there to devour this child as soon as it was born. But there was a place made or prepared for the woman to flee away to. And when the child was born, the Bible said that this child was caught up. You can go read it for yourself. It said it was caught up. So that tells us it wasn't the third heaven, because there's no more up in the third heaven. But when the child was caught up, it had to be the second dimension, because the third's up from the second. So when this child was born, and he was caught away. Now let's talk about you being born again. So we're going to talk about your part that's being birthed, and it's that child caught up. It's caught up into the third heaven. Now I don't like using unbiblical terminologies, but many of the Christian people, they use terminologies like rapture. Okay? And one says, oh, I'm post-trib. One says, I'm mid-trib. One says, I'm pre-trib. And another one this and that. And they got all these disputes and doctrine disputes and people beating each other up. And then none of them half the time know what they're talking about. So I like to talk about the Word of God. And the Bible said that there is a catching up. I just told you, I quoted the scripture to you about a catching up, right? Okay? The Bible talks about a transfiguration. The Bible talks about winning the redemption of the body. Okay, so now we're using biblical terminologies. Now, if you want to tag some of those terminologies and call it rapture, I got no problem with that. But what we got to do is make sure that we understand it. Because we've got a rapture for the first heaven, we got a rapture for the second heaven, and we got a rapture for the third heaven. Now, let me ask you a question to go back to something I just said a minute ago. If you are daily dying and mortifying the deeds of your flesh, there's something dying every day, right? If you're scriptural, if you're biblical, if you got to take up your cross daily and mortify this man out daily, so you're killing this man out, that's relative to the first heaven, and then you're bringing alive another, what are you doing? You're resurrecting him. Okay, so now we're having a daily rapture, huh? Okay, if you want to use your terminology, rapture, I'm going to use it with you. Okay, now you say, well, I just don't know about that. What I'm saying, you need to understand the first, second, and third rapture. You need to understand that. Now, how many of you read your Bible and it says that you're dwelling in heavenly places? How did you get there? You were raptured. If Jesus, when Philip was talking, he said, you know where I am, you'll be there also. Okay, so now we say, well, I know for sure Jesus is in heaven. Okay, so then I'm there also. So what part of me is there with them? My spirit man has been raptured already. It's already dwelling in heavenly places, fellowshipping with the Lord, and nothing could be laid to its charge. Okay, so then what's going on down here? Am I trying to save my flesh? No. Let me tell you, there's not one man, and I could show you this in the Bible, there's not one man or one woman that'll be cast into hell for the sin of the flesh. Come on now. It says that in the Bible. It teaches that very clearly. What is it? It's the sin of the soul. So we're differentiating again. Now, why is it not the sin of the flesh? Because Jesus came and he fulfilled and took the sin of the flesh. He took all sin. And he took it, and the handwriting of offense, he took it, and he took it right into hell. And he overcame death, the enemy of God. And the last enemy of God, the Bible said, is the abolishment of death. And Jesus done that. He said, it's finished. It's done. Death is no more. That's why the Bible said that we've passed from death unto life. That's why the Bible said we're more than conquerors. You understand that? You see, brethren, when we start trying to understand what death is, and I say, I cannot die. And they say, but Brother Rob, you know, man, your heart could quit. They throw you in a box out there. What makes you think that's death? I've already been crucified with Christ. That's the only death I know. Now, the thing is, the Bible said the fathers, forefathers went to sleep. Sons of God can't die because we passed from death unto life. So we're differentiating. So I've already died, but now we started out speaking about some sin. There's some twice dead. What is the second death? It's separation from God. What is the second birth? It's a joining with God. You see, we got to understand both dimensions. But now, Jesus condescended to men of a less estate. That's what the Bible says. So we take something from the third heaven, condescending down into a secondly realm. But if we have to go from the first heaven and have to go through the second heaven to get into the third. Now remember, the first heaven is relative to the water world. The water, this world was flooded, this earth was flooded, correct? Okay, so we're taking a water world. And then we got a blood world, physical, man, soul realm, second heaven, saving of the soul. One would say, well, what is the difference? Now, you see, when we talk about the Father being spirit, and we talk about the Son came into second dimension to be a mediator or a cross. There's no way to get into third unless you go through the door. And the door was made open in the second to make us to go into the third. Okay, he said, I am the door, the way, the truth, and the life. So we've got to realize, we got to fulfill each one of those things. You're not going to bypass the shedding of blood. But now once you've come to understanding the shedding of blood, and you understand that this blood was shed for you, okay, now you understand that, you know, that you were washed in the blood. But now can I continue to live in the world and live in sin and live like a dog and say, I plead the blood of Jesus? Now I'll take you back to the first dimension. When he brought that water sacrifice to God, God didn't accept it. It made him so mad he put his brother and killed his own brother. And then his blood spoke out of the dirt. Okay, but then we come down to the end of this second covenant. There was a bloodbath all the way through the Old Testament. We come down and Jesus went. He said, I wasn't satisfied with the sacrifice of bulls and goats, but he brought this one sacrifice, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that was the finishing of the blood covenant, brethren. He fulfilled it. He was covered with blood, the physical earth, the physical body, just like the natural earth was covered with water. Jesus hung his head there and he said, it's finished. So what came in? What covenant came in next? If that was the finishing of the blood covenant, then what is the next covenant? Now I tell you, the water covenant was finished right when God took and killed the animals and clothed them with skins in the garden because they found themselves naked. Okay, that was a typical thing showing the Lord Jesus Christ, a beast garment. Now, Jesus came in that image. He said that he came in the image of sin. That's what the Bible said about you. He came in the image of sin. What is the image of sin? It's a beastly image. This is a beast's body. You understand that? Now, the body, the born again is a different. It's not made with hands. It's a different body. It's a changed body, a transfigured body. It's an eternal body. This one here is celestial, that one's celestial. And we got to understand that. We got to understand the difference. Well, I don't think I need to understand all that. All I got to know is Jesus and him crucified. That's all I got to know. I've heard many preachers say that and they're on their way to hell. I know that's what the Bible says. But let me tell you something. They just use it for a hobby horse where they can play their games and go play golf, okay? And instead of getting with the Word of God. So speaking again, trying to bring a closing thought of these three dimensions. So we found the water dimension violated because they partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then that made the water sacrifice not acceptable to God. Then he shed the blood of the animals and showed the blood covenant. And even after he showed that, that blood covenant went on for a long time. And it was quite a bit of time before the earth was flooded with water. Much corruption. Now I tell you that since 2,000 years ago at Calvary, the blood covenant was done. It's finished. It's over. You understand that? Now people draw up right there. They say, wait a minute. But John the Baptist said, he goes, there's going to be one that comes after I that I'm not even worthy to unlatch his shoes. But he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. So we're talking about another covenant, a covenant of the Spirit. Now the Bible said the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, not by the blood of God. Okay? It said we're led by the Spirit of God. It said we pray in the Spirit. Amen? We sing spiritual songs and hymns. We walk in the Spirit. We see in the Spirit. Okay? Now the Spirit's invisible. So Jesus said, though you have your eyes, you don't see. So now we're checking ourselves. Do I have eyes to see into this dimension? Do I have eyes to understand? Do I have eyes to perceive into this realm? What is this realm? Okay, now, well, I got born as a man relative to this earth. And it goes back to the earth. Okay? And then I'm born of God, the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. The Spirit's eternal. Okay? The things that are seen, the Bible said, are temporal. But the things that are unseen are eternal. So now we're talking about the spirit world. So I'm of the spirit world. I'm born of the Spirit. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. Now, Jesus condescended to men of this earth to bring good news, glad tidings to men, and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, he was the firstborn of many brethren. So we say now, beloved, we again, the sons of God. So what are we doing? The same thing. So we find this birth into the Spirit, and we find ourselves, we condescend to men of a less estate, but we bring the part that they understand and see, this man part. We bring it upright in righteousness. You understand that? We have to bring it upright. Now we start getting into doctrine. Okay, we got doctrines of godliness, the mysteries of godliness, the Bible says, and holiness. And we start looking into doctrine now. And we start to understand, pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation. What is that? What is this revelation? It's the revealing of Christ in the earth, the sons of God. What you do to the least of these, the Bible said, my brethren, is what you've done unto me. So now we got to find out, what am I doing on this earth? What am I? Am I a man? Or am I a son of God? Now the thing is the people see me as a man just as they saw Jesus as a man and put him to death, and they'll do the same to you. But we know that we're not of this earth, and we know that we have been, through the revelation of the Lord and the understanding, we've been caught away already into heaven. Now see, that's why I speak by the Spirit. I'm eternal. I can't die. You say, well, brother, what, if they put you out there in a box, they're asleep. That has nothing to do with my spirit. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. So we got to start believing what we're teaching here. And when Lazarus was dead for 4 days, according to carnal understanding, you know, they told the Lord, they said, he stinketh by now. And he said, oh, he's asleep. Oh, but he stinks by now. And he said, he's just asleep. And they argued with him. He said, okay, he's dead. And then they started talking to him. He said, you're talking about he's going to live in the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection. Okay, now we got to talk about you and I now. Who are you? You're a son of God. You're born of God. Now, the Bible said we're the children of the resurrection. Is that right? So if you're a child of the resurrection, you'd be doing the same thing that Jesus did. Is that right? What do we do? What was the last thing he asked us to do? Somebody tell me, the last commission that he gave. Go ye into all the world, baptizing them. Isn't that right? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Say, go baptize them. Okay. Why did they do that? It's fulfilled. Peter said, they baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. No other name given unto men. But then yet Catholic Church changed that doctrine in 321 AD. And they started baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Those are titles. But there's name. You see, what's funny is a Trinitarian will say, hey, if you want your prayers answered, you pray in Jesus' name. I say, amen. Amen. You want to cast out a devil, do it in Jesus' name. I say, amen. You know, you want to pray over your food, do it in Jesus' name. I say, amen. You want to see healing to the sick? Do it in Jesus' name. Amen. But when it comes to the remission of sin, they do it in titles. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Because it says it in one place in the Bible. And the reason it said it was unbelievers there, and Jesus veiled it. He told his 11 that were there, he said, go and baptize. It said the 11 disciples were there. They walked with him, worked with him every day. He said, go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, they went right off and done it after they got filled with the Holy Ghost. And they done it right there in the book of Acts in several places. There's a half a dozen scriptures in the book of Acts. And every single one said they baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. But why do they want to yield to Catholicism? Catholic Church is the one that changed that. But see, when I preach that, they want to call me a oneness. I'm just doing what the Bible says. Amen. Because that's what the oneness do. But then yet I go over to the oneness camp and I talk about the Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. They say, man, he's a Trinitarian. I think, hey, I'm just talking what the Bible says. I just don't teach him as a three-person God. There's just one God. And he manifests in these three different dimensions. The water world, the blood world, the spirit world. So the water world found that it wouldn't work for the covenant when the blood covenant came in. And we come down and find the blood covenant finished. And we go over to Hebrews. And I'm going to close with this. We go over to Hebrews. And it said, there remaineth no more sacrifice for willful sin. Once you've come to the knowledge of truth, been partakers of this world. What world? The spirit world. You cannot go and plead the blood of Jesus. Okay, I got born again. I spoke in tongues. I danced in the spirit, you know, and I do all the motions. And then I go off out here and live like a dog. And I say, oh, it's under the blood. That's a lie from hell. There ain't no Bible for that. None. Zero. You can't do it. What do you have to look forward to then, Brother Rob? According to the Bible, it said you have to look forward to the fiery indignation of God. The fiery indignation of God. What is that to a son of God? Well, let me tell you, a son of God that's born of the Spirit, and he goes and does something wrong, it's not going to be under the blood. He's going to find the chastening. The Bible said he chastens them that he loves. He is a consuming fire. He is spirit. And he is going to chasten you with the fire of the Holy Ghost, and you are going to fall under the power of God. And you might go through, the Bible said you're better off to cut off your hand and make it into the kingdom maimed. As going to hell with all of your limbs or whatever. You see, God brings forth the chastening. The Bible said, ye that suffer in the flesh cease from sin. So what is it? What is God going to do? We need to understand these dimensions and these covenants. So what are we in? We're walking in the spirit covenant. We are spiritual. We're led by the Spirit of God. We now are the sons of God. You say, well, you said that 1,000 times. Praise God, I'm wanting you to start believing it. I want you to start hearing it. Bless God, I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. You know, I don't play lotteries and stuff like that. But I tell you what, if I was fleshly like some people are, and I said, man, I want 100,000. You think I'm just going to tell you once? Man, I'm going to tell you all night. I want 100,000. Man, I want 100,000. You know, but man, I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. I was born of a king. Hallelujah. I'm born of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, brethren, the thing is that we got to start being led by the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, thinking in the Spirit, thinking like a child of God. You see, you think like a man. All men's hearts are fashioned alike. Somebody walks up to you, slaps you across the face. You're not thinking, turn the other cheek. Come on, I know better than you. I'm a man too. Turn the other cheek, my foot, son. I'm going to show you what this is going to do to you in about 2 seconds here. And then after I get you on the ground, I'm going to show you what this can do to you. You know, that's thinking like a man. But see, we start thinking like a child of God. You know, when somebody despitefully uses us, we get vengeance, we get envy, we get hate, we get bitterness. Why? Because we're men. We were born in this world. But what we've got to do, brethren, is we got to kill that man out. And this is why God allows people to come to us to poke you and to do you wrong and to steal from you and cheat you for you could show the love of God. Amen. Look at the power that it brought to see one taken to a cross. Look at what it brought to humanity, salvation. So the thing is if we're taking up our cross daily, we're being crucified daily. And when we're being crucified, people see us turning and loving them that are crucifying us. And then all of a sudden they come to salvation. It's easy to love people that love you, but start loving people that hate you. And now you're showing the love of God. And then it's when people start getting born again. This is when people start coming around. Again, I just want to make sure that the Lord allow me to close. We are closed on, but I just want to make sure I gather enough things together. We brought forth some dimensions tonight. So we brought forth the finishing of water, the finishing of a blood, and we're in a spirit dimension. When's it going to finish? There's never no end to that. We're in the mind and the realm of the spirit. Now, So if we come and condescend into the second soul realm, we find light and darkness there. Now, I know the Bible said that you can't mix light and darkness, but you got to get a revelation with that, because when the sun sets every night, it's not like you're out here standing in noonday sunlight and all of a sudden the light goes off and you're in black, are you? There's a mix of twilight, it's called, right at the evening time. In that realm, there is a time and a twilight. And you see, in these other dimensions, there's seasons. But the Bible said that we that are born of God are instant, in season, out of season. What does that mean? Instant, in season, out of season. Now see, man has summer and winter. And they have some spring and they have some fall. That's man. But you see, in the winter, there's no fruit on a tree. Okay? Now the thing is we in the spirit don't have winter. We always have fruit. You understand that? That's what the Bible's telling us. If you go over and read in Matthew 24, I believe it is, and it said, pray that your flight won't be in the winter. You know, and pray that the child isn't in suck. What is that saying? It's saying, I hope that you've girded yourself up and got off the milk of the word and you started partaking of the meat, and I hope you got some fruit on your tree, amen, that you ain't in the winter time of your life, because you're going to need some of the fruit of the spirit and you're going to need a little bit of the meat of the word, amen, to go on this journey that he's got us in, okay? Now, to make sure we got every little thing latched up here, and I can't do it that quick, I'm sorry, but when we bring the blood world to an end, we step into a spirit covenant. But then yet, we're manifesting to this world in a fleshly body. A temporal body. Now we know by the scriptures and the word again in 1 Corinthians 15 what's going to take place with this. I know when you get into your doctrines of rapture, you know, it'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's Bible. That's called transfiguration. It's changed from mortal to immortal. Now, this is going to happen. Now, the thing is when you get in again to your rapture doctrines, you got to have a water, blood, and a spirit. The water rapture, every spring, you see the things that are relative to the water, they rapture up. And then when we get into the second heaven, the physical blood realm, blood life, physical part, and you say, well, I don't see the difference between the water and the blood world. Some people have trouble differentiating between the natural and the physical world. There's a natural tree. A natural tree, and then there's a physical tree, and there's a spiritual tree. A physical tree, right here, I've got a trunk. I got limbs, amen. I'm supposed to have fruit of the Spirit on this, bringing it forth physically speaking. And we talked about how this physical brings forth the seed. And even when Jesus prayed, laid hands on the man and prayed for him, they said, do you see? And he said, I see men as trees walking. God opened his eyes up to the spirit dimension first. Do you realize that? He saw men as trees walking. Amen. He had a revelation. He saw something there. Amen. And the thing is then he prayed again. Then he saw like the regular men did, but he still got a spiritual vision first. So again, if we find in this blood life being done away with, but then yet the spirit man is being veiled within the darkness of this blood life, the spirit man, the inner man, the quickening spirit is being veiled in this realm. The world doesn't see it. They don't know you. They don't know good when good comes. You see, if you as a brother in the Lord go over to a man's house and knock on his door, and you say, I felt led by the Spirit of God. God burdened me for you, brother. I want to pray for you. And you knew the man was lost, and the man rejected you. Let me tell you something. There is not one iota difference of what he done to you that would do to Jesus. Not one little. None. What you've done to the least of these, my brethren, is what you've done unto me. The least. And the least of us are going to judge the angels according to the Bible. And judgment begins in the house of God. Let's stand together. We got to learn the Word of God, and we got to get real with the Spirit of God. We got to start knowing who we are in God, that we can take our rightful place in God. Are you waiting for some day that you're going to take your last breath and then you're going to have all these things handed to you? Let me tell you something. We're more than conquerors now, and we take authority over this flesh now. We take this man and put him under subjection now. The flesh shows the woman. This is the bride part. It's under subjection. The inner quickening, the masculine, shows the masculine part. And my flesh has got to submit to my inner man. You understand that? And it's going to be the weaker. And it's going to have to surrender all over. You see what I'm saying? He said, I show you the mystery. When the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. The reason it says one in the flesh, because this flesh man, I'm going to bring the spirit world alive in it and bring this upright. It's fallen on its axis in sin, but I'm going to bring it upright in righteousness. How do I do that? Through the transformation of mind. This is second heaven. Transforming my mind into the mind of Christ. Thinking on the things. The Bible said, think on the things from above, the things that are virtuous, the things that are righteous, the things that are godly, the things that are holy. Amen. Now, some of you think that holiness is an inward work, and it is. But if you stop there, you have missed God altogether. He said, present your body, your soul, and your spirit. And the thing is the only thing that the people of this world can see is the body. So we got to bring this body upright into holiness, godliness, and virtue and righteousness. And this is what the people could see. Amen. But we've got doctrines of devils out there and saying that God only looks on the heart, when the Bible said that man's heart's continually evil and wicked and it's deceitful and divisive and a man doesn't even know his own heart. Let me tell you, when God looks on your heart, he's going to see that you're appointed with eternal damnation. But he's going to look and see you in the spirit of caught away with him, hid away in Christ. Amen. That's how he's going to see the sons of God. Let's bring this life upright into righteousness and holiness and virtue and godliness and serve God. Amen. Y'all love the Lord? Let's give him a hand. Amen. Somebody say, I love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. I challenge you, if you could show me anywhere tonight that I have veered from the scriptures or the word, or if I can't show you word for anything that I said tonight, I would throw it out and discard it and can it fast. Amen. But let me tell you something, there's word and scriptures in the Bible. Amen. A great man of God, many years ago, a guy came to him and said, you don't know your Bible very well, do you? And he said, no, sir, I don't, but I know the author. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing a song.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.